This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Let's twist. Teenagers loved the new dance craze, but lots of adults were alarmed by all the shaking hips and swiveling pelvises. And why were all those young people dancing apart? In a few minutes, we'll hear from the director of a new documentary about the twist and how it changed teen culture. The record behind the dance craze was Chubby Checker's 1960 number one hit, which we just heard. But the song was written by R&B singer Hank Ballard, who also had the first recording of it. The movie The Twist is dedicated to him. Here's his original 1959 recording. We called Hank Ballard at his home in Los Angeles and asked him to remember the first time he heard Chubby Checker's cover of his song.
Yeah, I was in Miami taking a swim, you know, and I heard this twist blasting across white radio, pop station down in Miami, the biggest pop station down there. I feel good because King Records wasn't getting in a white airplay, you know, in the pop airplay. I said, lads, I'm getting some pop airplay, you know. Maybe I become a superstar, you know. But when the man said Chubby Checker, after the first chorus, I knew it wasn't me, you know. But when the first eight bars, I thought it was me.
So the first time you heard Chubby Checker's recording of The Twist, for the first chorus, you thought it was you. Then you realized it wasn't you. When you listen to those records now, what do you think of the comparison between your version and the cover?
I know my version is superior to Chubby Checker's. If you put the two on, you can see the difference. My version has more guts in it, more drive, and my vocal is a little superior over Chubby Checker. When I hear some of these reporters and I see, sometimes they write that Chubby Checker had a slicker version. What was slick about his version? I don't know. The slickness came when American Bandstand was playing it. Dick Clark, that's what made The Twist. You could have recorded The Twist and it would have been a hit if Dick Clark was playing it.
You think so?
Yeah, but man, during that time, you could record a grunt. If Dick Clark played it, it was a hit overnight.
No. How come Dick Clark played Chubby Checker's version of The Twist and not yours?
Chubby Checker was in Dick Clark's stable. You know, he had a stable of artists. That was Frankie Avalon, Bobby Rydell, Dee Dee Shark, Fabian. Now, all these acts was in his stable.
Yeah, and Chubby Checker was one of the guys from Philadelphia where Bandstand came out.
Yeah, but see, he was also... Okay, I'll give you a good hint. Dick Clark's wife is the one that named him Chubby Checker. Doesn't that tell you something?
Right, so he was in on the record.
It was a lot of politics going on during that time with this particular record, between Dick Clark and my record company. Uh-huh. Dick Clark made Finger Poppin' Time a hit. You know, my A&R man told me that Dick Clark made a deal with King Records, that if they didn't release my version of The Twist, he would make Finger Poppin' Time a hit for me, which he did.
So do you think most people realize now that you wrote The Twist and recorded
it
first?
No, they associate The Twist with Chubby Checker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, next to Jesus Christ, Chubby Checker is second to Jesus Christ around the world. There's nowhere in this world you can go in the most remote areas that somebody don't know about Chubby Checker. But that doesn't mean anything to me because I'm not into the stars and and all the commercial admiration, you know?
Well, when you go to one of these remote areas, do you ever say, well, I'm the guy who did it first?
No, unless if we are appearing now, they always tell them on stage, you know, that this is the original version that I recorded in 1958. This is the way we did it in 1958.
Well,
the best thing ever happened to me was Shepard Checker doing the twist, because King Records just didn't like it. It was just lying down on the shelf gathering dust, you know?
Right. So have you spent much time with Chubby Checker?
Oh, yeah. You know what? See, Chubby has a terrible ego. See, but I've been nice to Chubby down through the years, been nice to him and his wife. It's just that I can't handle his ego sometimes, you know? And I know that Chubby don't care that much about me, you know, but it doesn't make me a difference how he feel about me, you know? She goes, I'm a thorn in his side. I'm like a nuisance, you know? He cannot go down in history without dragging me with him. And he hates that. Because he wants to be the owner of the twist, you know?
I see what you're saying.
Can
we go back to the mid-50s and talk about some of your hits from then?
Yeah.
There was your song, Work With Me, Annie.
You weren't even born then.
Oh, yes, I was.
That was in 1954.
I was born.
Huh?
Yeah.
That was 40 years ago or so.
Now, there were a lot of stations that banned that record from
they banned it,
from
it,
the
made,
air.
It a, made it the biggest, it's the fifth biggest R&B record ever recorded.
Well, now, what were the lyrics and why was it banned?
It was banned because I had suggestive lyrics. You know, like, when I first wrote the song, I had a different title. I had Sock It To Me, Annie. But FCC, the Sock It To Me is a no-no. It's obscene. So I changed it to Roll With Me, Annie. They said, Roll With Me is obscene. You can't use that lyric. So what I did, now during that time, that was a time in the ghetto in Detroit, they had a they had this little slang going around. Say, man, did you get some work last night? You're talking about sex, you know. Did you get some work last night? So I know what I'll do. I'll call it Work With Me, Annie, you know? Then they won't know what I'm talking about. They can read between the lines. But what made it so obvious when the lyric, Annie, please don't cheat, give me all my meat. That's when the suggestive lyrics came in.
So was it hard for you to break the image of somebody who only wrote suggestive songs?
I think when I came up with Thing of Poppin' Time and The Twist and Tore Up Over You been recorded by a lot of artists. In Look at Little Sister, Stevie Ray Vaughan had a big hit with Look at Little Sister. That was, as a matter of fact, that was one of his biggest hits, Look at Little Sister. I'm okay. You know, I can't even write like that now. I don't want to write suggestive lyrics, you know, because I have children and grandchildren, you know.
Well, did you think of The Twist and Finger Poppin' Time as suggestive?
No, but the FCC tried to say that The Twist was obscene, you know. But there's nothing obscene about The Twist and Finger Poppin' Time. I wrote Finger Poppin' Time. I was in a restaurant on Broadway there in New York. And it was a gentleman sitting next to me, and this young lady walked up and said, Mister, can you tell me what time it is? He popped his finger and said, Baby, it's finger popping time. So I said, that sounds like a good song title, you know? I went to the hotel, wrote that one in about 15 minutes. All you need, if you get you a good hook line, you can go from there.
Listen, for any of our listeners who don't remember that song, would you just sing a couple of lines of it?
What, finger popping time?
Yeah.
Hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now, it's finger popping time, finger popping time. I feel so good, and that's a real good sign. Yes, I do feel good. I'm airborne, folks.
No.
You know what? I know with soul finger popping time, it has country overtones. The melody is country.
You think so?
Yeah, because my first music was country. I still like country music.
Huh.
Yeah, the whole melody, the thing about me, down, and my rhythm is country. Now, on almost all my songs, my rhythm is, my guitar is doing country licks.
Well, that's interesting.
If you listen, you'll hear. That's why nobody can play The Twist the way my band does it. Because most guitarists don't play that country lick, you know, especially the black guitarists. It's that country lick that makes my rhythm.
Hmm. So why did the Midnighters break up?
They got involved with Malcolm X. They converted to the Muslim faith. See, and Malcolm X followed me around for about 2 years trying to convert me because they wanted, you had to give up 20% of your earnings, plus you had to stand on the corner and sell papers, and I didn't like the philosophy, the hate philosophy, you know, but I used to go to the temple just to hear him speak, you know, but I just didn't like the hate philosophy. I just couldn't, I have to be me. I refuse to be anybody but Hank Ballard. See, it's just not a part of my nature to hate. You know, the Midnighters got so involved, they became fanatics, you know? Even Malcolm X told them they had gotten too fanatic. They didn't want to work any more white engagements, sign no more white autographs. And they used, well, let me tell you, 24 hours a day, all you could hear was how they hate white people, you know? So what happened, we was in Nassau doing a gig over there, and I called Elijah Muhammad a pimp. You know, I said, he's a pimp, you know. And why did I do that? They all jumped me, you know. If my agent hadn't been there, they probably would have killed me. Then I knew it was time to take him to court and try to secure the trade name, you know. But what happened, the union wanted me to go out as Hank Ballard and wanted them to take the Midnighters. I said, no, I want the whole trade name. You know, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. So we had arbitration, and the arbitrator ruled in my favor. So I owned the whole trade name, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
You were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, in 1990?
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
Prior to my induction, I used to see Chubby Checker there every year. Each year he was there, you know, we'd talk, we'd rap. But when I was inducted, I didn't see Chubby Checker. Now, if he had been inducted, I would have been there, wishing him well, you know? I think he was embarrassed or something, you know? I don't know why he didn't show up for my induction.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
You know, it's been nice talking to you, you know?
Hank Ballard spoke to us from his home in Los Angeles. He's still twisting. This is his down and dirty twist from his album Naked in the Rain, released last year.
Woo! Y'all, y'all, y'all. The twist been clean too long. Let's make it dirty this time. Let's throw some dirt on it. Come on. Twist. Now down and dirty twist. Watch my stroke and don't fall broke and do it like this. Come on! First you slip and slide, you let your hands glide, throw your hips out of bounds, let the booty kiss the ground. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Hank Ballard from his latest album, Naked in the Rain. Coming up, a documentary on the twist. This is Fresh Air.
Hi, everybody. This is Joey D. I'm going to teach you how to dance the twist, so get ready to have a ball. Before we begin, let's make sure you're familiar with the instruction booklet. Be sure to keep the booklet handy so you can follow directions as we go along. Ready? Okay, let's do the twist.
There's a new documentary called The Twist that will do much more than teach you how to do it. It's the story of how The Twist changed youth culture. Director Ron Mann spent years going through archival footage of dance shows, variety shows, news shows, movies, commercials, everything he could find relating to The Twist. He also interviewed Hank Ballard, Chubby Checker, Dee Dee Clark of Mashed Potato fame, dancers from American Bandstand, and many others. Mann is the director of previous films about comics, performance poetry, and jazz. I asked him why he wanted to make a film about The Twist.
Well, I'm interested in cultural history, and I wanted to contribute to the historical record. And rock and roll, we know the history of rock and roll, but we don't know the history of rock and roll dance. I wanted to do the real story of Dirty Dancing.
What do you think is the importance of The Twist is in the development of teen culture?
In 1950, 1957 in Philadelphia, you had the birth of American Bandstand, and you also had nationally, and you also had simultaneously the growth of the teen idol era. At that time, people thought that rock and roll was the devil's music, and American Bandstand had a job really to clean up rock and roll and make it safe. And American Bandstand was the MTV of its time. It was like after school, the streets would be clear because
you had to turn it on.
Yeah, you would be dancing with your doorknob at home, and you know, if you were like a hip kid in 57 and through those years, you'd be watching American Bandstand. You also had, though, a kind of reactionary, I think, growth in the music, which was the teen idol era. And it became so safe that it and squeaky clean that it really, I think, hurt the development of rock and roll. The point of the film is that rock and roll is rhythm and blues. And if it wasn't for artists like Hank Ballard, who in 1954, for example, performed a song with the Midnighters called Work With Me Annie, it was banned on the radio, and it was taken off the jukeboxes in Boston, which really meant, as Hank said in an interview, that white kids were buying it. Their parents would go out shopping, and they would take their sides from underneath the bed and play it. And it was responsible for popularizing rock and roll. And that rock and roll just became, you know, so it became whitened, quite frankly. And I really wanted to explode myths in this film about teen culture, for example, and kid culture. And that is that everything doesn't come from Elvis Presley, and all the dances don't come from American Bandstand. The dances originally are African-American dances. I think that the twist really became popular in 1961 when Joey D did the twist, because it's when the media picked up on the jet setters or adults doing the twist. Then it became acceptable. In a way, the film is about the domestication of the twist and how it became accessible, and how the music industry works, how it pushes a product, how it's really about capitalism, quite frankly, and teen culture was ignored, really, except to sell a product to the growing baby boomers.
What are your very favorite twist records?
You know, when I finished this film, I never wanted to hear another Twist song as long as I live.
Well, estimate for us how many you think you heard during the course of your
research. I tracked over 300 Twist songs.
Uh-huh.
These are Twist spinoff songs.
Mm-hmm.
Twist Sonora, Gary Usbonds, Twist of the Night Away, Sam Cooke, Twist McMeer.
Twist McMeer?
McMeer. German. You know, my favorite song is Duane Eddy doing Twisting Off a Cliff. It goes down, down, and down, down, and down, down, and down, down, and ah! That's the whole song. my favorite Twist cover is Ray Charles doing the twist. It's called Twisting with Ray Charles. Now, there's not one Twist song on the entire album, but it became a huge hit because it just said Twist on the cover. You could sell anything with the word Twist attached to it.
So you heard hundreds of Twist recordings. Did you get archival footage of people doing the twist around the world?
There was so much twist footage around the world, I couldn't fit it in. We have twisting elephants. We have twisting in outer space. We have a version of the twist in the Soviet Union, which was called the Terracon. They thought the twist was Western decadence, so they came up with their own twist version, which was called the Terracon. Twisting in Vietnam, Saigon. I was twisted out. The twist footage was quite of that period of 61 when the twist craze happened was just really unbelievable. Now there is one piece that I've never found. It's kind of my holy grail, which was Chubby Checker doing the twist on WOR. Now,
The TV station
in New York City in 1960. And I tracked down the the director, you know, who directed this spot. This is hour on the hour instructions on how to do the twist. And if you can imagine, it was like, it was really, really big. But I could never find it. And there's a lot of footage that I couldn't find, simply because it didn't exist. But the footage that I did find was quite wacky.
What are your favorite twist instructional records?
The twist instructional record that we use in the film was from Joey D. And, you know, King Curtis put out an Arthur Murray twist song, and that actually is my favorite. Dancing was so big back then. I mean, it was the thing to do. Like, people go to movies now, or, you know, it must have been incredible.
Ron Mann's documentary, The Twist, has opened in Philadelphia, former home of American Bandstand. It opens in New York and Los Angeles August 13th, then in other cities. Well, we don't have a copy of one of Mann's favorite recordings, Twistin' with Ray Charles, but what luck, we do have a copy of the Chubby Checker record, The Ray Charleston, from Checker's album, Let's Twist Again. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.